Ghost Ship Radio Network.
Sail onward.
Banterbox Radio. It's good to talk.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Banterbox Radio. This is episode 63 for this fine May the 10th, 2016. I am the Thomas, he is the Dan. Hello, the Dan.
I just switched it to Dan in honor of Prince.
Rip.
Rip.
Rest in pepperonis. Rest in princes.
I know, that's what he would have wanted, being a vegan. Or a vegetarian.
Or one of those things, yes. Good on him. Not for
me. Yeah, I don't know why you would commend somebody for not being alive anymore.
Yeah, that's not. So, definitely drop the ball on that one. But we are back again this week to do what we do, which is... Damn, what... I forget.
If you're new to the show, which is possible.
Which I am.
You are, okay. Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Cap'n.
What we do is we gather up the best stupid articles or the most embarrassing...
Would you say that it's weird news, maybe?
I would say it's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
At times. Mm-hmm. Funny.
Oh?
At other times.
Oh! I'm practicing for later.
Disturbing, yeah. Funny, or weird.
Yeah.
Or all three, sometimes in Florida.
Mostly Florida. There's actually a lot of Florida.
There is. And we share that with you through great expense of our own. You
know, is it?
We go through a lot of turmoil to deliver
sleepless
this.
Nights, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're up, you know, like those TV shows where they show journalists and they've got like, you know, two cigarettes and like a keyboard or a typewriter, yeah. And they're up drinking coffee with their tie unfurled from their neck, whatever you call. And
we don't have a front page article yet.
Like that, and we slam really hard, and then we get nothing done.
Yeah, it's just basically just getting really frustrated.
Yeah, I remember yes.
I don't watch things, so I don't know what we're supposed to do after that. Except you just.
Usually there's a screen wipe, and then it all works out.
Oh.
Yeah.
We haven't graduated to that point yet.
No, we got to put in a screen wipe. Here, let's let's just insert one of those.
Into our lives.
There it is. Great.
Now, we did it!
All the people at home will have seen that.
In their mind's eye.
So yeah, we're back again this week to do that thing that he said we do, because he is correct.
Mm.
But before we begin today.
Yes.
There's a couple things.
Elephant in the room.
Big old elephant. And Dan, I believe that we promised these fine viewers or listeners, peoples, a show on Sunday.
You did.
And that we would be live from Free Comic Book Day. But it's now Tuesday. Mm. And that didn't happen.
Yes.
And would you like to explain why that didn't happen?
Okay, so we got up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go to Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
What happened was my GPS was on the fritz, and instead of leading us to Double Midnight Comics, where we were supposed to be, and I've been there many times in the past, it led us to an old construction site.
Yeah.
And I thought it was weird, but I was like, maybe they moved. So we started setting up, and it turns out that we fell into a chasm that had been dug by one of the digger equipment. And so we were stuck there in that chasm for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It was
hours.
Hours.
Hours. We were there for most of the day.
And it was raining the whole weekend, so it started flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine that being a problem.
Of course, yeah.
So
We're swimming for our lives at this point.
Yeah, with all of our recording equipment.
Yeah, it's all hooked up and everything. We were like, eh, whatever, you know, let's just hook up at the bottom of this hole. Let's just do what we can.
Water and electricity, not a good combination.
Nope.
So we were thoroughly shocked.
Yeah. And it did pain me so.
It did. We were able to dig ourselves out by using our mics. We drove them into the wall of the chasm and got ourselves out.
Yeah, like rock climbing equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by then it was far, far too late, and we weren't able to record it. The sun had gone down. Everybody went home with their free comics, and we just simply, we lost the opportunity.
It was a real shame. We tried as hard as we could, and actually you left out the best part.
Oh, what was that?
It was after we got out of the hole. You remember, right?
We were attacked by ninjas.
Yeah, it was... Honestly, they say that the dangers of random ninja attacks are minuscule at best, but honestly, I tend to disagree with those numbers.
I think we were just lucky that the Vikings came along to help
they
fight the ninjas off.
It was definitely handy. I wish that they hadn't, ritualistically removed my legs after the fact in some sort of, crazy Viking ritual thing. But, at least my life was spared.
It's penance, really.
Yeah, really.
It was a good service that you did. I mean, all my limbs are still intact, so.
Yeah. Well, that's because I put more effort into the battle.
You did. I ran away. I just took off.
I remember. And see, that was the biggest problem, because when you ran away...
Mm-hmm.
See, that's when things really went downhill. Everything was uphill from that point. Like, we were okay, it's working out. We're going to get this. We can still make it. But then you running away and getting lost in that old abandoned haunted mansion was what completely threw away the rest of the day.
I know.
Couldn't recover after that.
Well, the thing was, when I got in there, there was an old man, and he told me that if I was able to find the treasure buried under in the basement, that he would give me the property that the house was, and it was a very expensive.
And that was a great deal, but he neglected to tell you it was on top of an old Indian burial site.
Yeah, so then essentially I was fighting for my life, all of these ancient Indian spirits.
Yeah,
I got possessed a couple
crazy day.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and then you got possessed. I remember that.
I got possessed a handful of times.
That was a whole thing. Let's not even get into that. That was a whole thing.
And you walked in on some terrible, terrible things that I was doing.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. But yeah, so we didn't get to do that because it was just a hectic day.
Just some technical difficulties.
But for reals though, good shout out to the folks at
Double Midnight,
who do continue to put on an awesome comic book day show every year. It's just a shame that we couldn't make it due to some unforeseen difficulties, as it were.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, but
for giving us the opportunity, though.
It is much appreciated, and Brett, still love you in my heart of hearts. I will always. That's for another day. But, yeah, so we're going to go ahead and move on from
Fair
that.
Enough.
And let's talk about what today is. Today is a couple of pretty important national days, which really go hand in hand as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one is the one that you know about, of course. It's National Lipid Day.
Oh, my God.
Where we celebrate your lipids.
Year round for this.
Yeah, I know. You've been waiting to celebrate those fatty oils. And
I've been leaving my stocking out for the lipid fairy to fill it.
Gross. That's the worst of all fairies. And going nice and sort of comfortably meshing with that is National Shrimp Day, which today is also. Yeah. So what you do is you remove the lipids from your body. You get some sort of gelatinous gross mess of lipids.
Yes.
And you use it as a cocktail dip for those shrimps.
Ooh, and you just ingest it all over.
Yeah, it's a delicious lipid shrimp dip.
Lipid shrimp dip.
So,
it's disgusting.
Celebrate that, and we should just go ahead and move on.
Now that my stomach is churning.
And now that we're 10 minutes in already.
Well then.
Let's start the show.
All right. An Israeli man has been pestered for years from one individual and has finally put his foot down.
Good for him.
The individual. I think so.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when someone's bothering you to the nth degree?
I certainly don't keep my foot up.
No.
I put it down.
It comes down.
It comes down hard.
If you still had feet you'd put them down.
I don't anymore, but if I did, yeah.
Those Vikings made sure.
I used to put my feet down. Now I just sort of scowl.
Yeah.
It's the best I can do, really.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
It gets the point across.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's bothering you immensely, what do? You file a restraining order against them.
Seems reasonable, yeah.
You just get them out of your business.
And out of your life.
So that's what this guy did. With God.
Oh. Does he?
God was...
Does God... Now, see, that is a service I did not know that God fulfilled. He can actually... He can honor and create restraining orders? That's a thing?
Well, he can't create them.
Oh, you're saying the restraining order is against God.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That's a...
God's gotten up in his business.
Yeah, that's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
David Chosan has a beef with the Lord. And after numerous complaints to the local police department, he has finally decided to take legal action against God.
Can you imagine those phone calls? Yeah, police, I'm just having a real sticky time with God. If you could just not let him near me anymore.
Tell him to just ease off. His ironclad case is that for the last 3 years, God has been very negative towards him. Unfortunately, court documents could not prove any way of this, as it is very hard to get the man upstairs to admit to wrongdoing. When initially contacting the police, they only gave him 10 visits in a 36-month period of time, which by my calculations is 10 too many.
Yeah, it's exactly 10 too many.
Honoring anything beyond hanging up the phone is ridiculous. I love the snippet from the Times of Israel. They say, quote, a protocol of the hearing noted that God did not turn up for the session, although it did not specify how the court determined the omnipresent was not in fact there, as opposed to merely exercising the right to remain silent.
I like that they're just taking it as one big joke.
Yeah. The presiding judge, Asan Kanan, threw out the request for a restraining order and called it absurd. He also went on to suggest the man get help outside of just law enforcement. I can't wait to see where this guy's going to take it next. Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, the police aren't helping me. The court's not doing it. You know what? I'm just going to have to take matters into my own hands and go after God.
Oh, geez. That sounds like a sweet movie premise.
God Vendetta.
Yeah. This time it's personal.
That's right. Clearly, 3 years worth. So, yeah, there's that.
Great. That seems completely absurd. And it's exactly what we hope to offer on this show.
Yeah.
Complete 100% nonsense.
That's it.
Well, let's move directly from God into penises.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's what we do.
Why not?
It's what we do. We got God on one hand, dicks in the other.
That's it. Oh, man. Yep.
So, an Arizona student who showed his penis.
Mm.
That's...
Prenis.
That's the genitalias of a male.
Oh, okay.
For those who are unfamiliar with the prenis.
I don't know what that is.
You don't?
Huh? I don't familiar.
So he showed his penis in his football team's photograph, was arrested briefly after his high school unwittingly sent the image to hundreds of his Phoenix area classmates as part of its yearbook.
Oh, splendid.
A spokeswoman for Red Mountain High School said the photo was printed in all of the school's yearbooks destined for some 3,400 students, but only about 250 had been given out so far. The school hopes to get back all 250 yearbooks, and all books in school's possession will be edited to cover the inappropriate content. I have a feeling they're just gonna put like a little happy face sticker over it.
Scratch and sniff.
It's one of those pickle scented ones.
Oh, the pepperonis.
Oh, gross.
Those always smell
like meat.
Spicy meat. Just
spicy meat. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh.
That'd be really funny. The student, Hunter Osborne, 19, told police he was acting on a dare from another football player when court documents said he exposed his penis through the top of his waistband of his football uniform pants. Kids these days, am I right, with their funny jokes? Ha ha, hey, Hunter, wouldn't it be great if you whipped your dick out and put it in the picture and everybody saw it? And
yes.
We're all just a couple of guys here. We're just having fun. Why don't you pull your penis out and we'll just have a great time. Just see where the afternoon goes.
Why don't you rest it gingerly on the guy who's kneeling in front of you
and
for
don't
the picture?
Even, and don't even put it away if you're done. Just leave it out. It's going to be a goof and a spoof, and we're going to have a great time, and maybe all of us will take it out, and maybe we put them together and make like a big, big penis sculpture. Oh, my God.
Mega penis.
Super funny, and maybe some of us will touch it on their
on
lips.
On their other areas.
And we'll learn about our bodies and experiment in new ways.
Well, that escalated.
59 students ranging in age from 15 to 19 years old and 10 faculty members were present at the time, police said. Osborne released from custody on Sunday after being arrested the day earlier, faces 69, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. 69 counts of misdemeanor indecent exposure and one count of felony furnishing harmful items to minors.
Give me a break.
Yeah, it's a loaded gun, okay? And it can blow at any moment.
You're classy. You're a classy broad.
Thanks. 69 counts. I feel like at 68 they were just like, it'd be hilarious if we just added one more. Let's just do it. I mean, come on. So good job, Hunter, for showing your ping pong, your ding dang, your doodle.
So this kid's going to prison now? Like, what the hell's happening?
No, he was released. He was arrested briefly, and then
like
released.
Felony charges.
Yeah, well, because they're saying indecent exposure to minors, because he was 19 and there were some 15-year-olds there. Nah, whatever, you know.
Yeah, come on.
It's all a goof. It's all a spoof. Everybody's having a great time. We got our dicks out, and we're just having a great time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wouldn't.
We're exploring our adolescent bodies and learning new things about each other.
And you should arrest the guy who photographed it.
Yeah, child pornography. He's 19, so.
Yeah. Oh, so this is barely legal.
Barely legal. That's right. Gross.
Anyway.
All right, moving on.
A super smart child has outfoxed the adults at her school. Not wanting to stay for an after-school program, she forged a parent's note to get herself out of it.
It's a good idea.
7-year-old Rosabella Dehu was then able...
I'm sorry, that's not a real name.
Rosabella Dehu.
Rosabella Dehu.
Or Dahu, I'm not sure.
It definitely sounds like a name of someone who would be in a musical, because it's so musical-sounding.
Oh, Rosabella Dehu.
Rosabella Dehu.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a nice singable name.
It is singable. I never really thought about it like that.
Okay.
So she wrote this note to get onto a bus to go home. The note read, quote, "I want Rosabella to go to," two O's, T-O-O, "to go to Dus 131 today."
Dus.
Dus. The plan was not without flaws, however. After getting home, she spent a good chunk of the afternoon outdoors because she was locked out of her own home. Didn't think that through. It was only until she went next door and asked the neighbor to use their bathroom that she was able to, she came inside to the neighbor's house. The neighbor kept her there until the father was found. The school then issued this statement. Sheldon ISD is currently investigating the situation. We are reviewing our training procedures to ensure that our after-school grant program staff is properly trained on dismissal procedures.
Yeah.
As we move forward, the district is working to make sure that all of our after-school grant staff receives the same training as district employees, which means they can differentiate DUS from bus. At this point, the district is continuing to investigate and will take proper disciplinary action. As always, student safety is our top priority. The father added, "You can clearly see she's not even spelling the word bus right."
I love the school's response. I love it. Because
paragraph of...
You know how much I hate that. I really do hate
That's
it.
That's why I put it
this
in.
Nonsensical doublespeak. This just complete filler crap. "We are going to do everything in our power to complete, you know, to make sure this is rectified and never happens again. We'll educate our staff to blah, blah." That's what I hear.
Insert crap.
Mm-hmm. I hear lots of pooping.
Lots of pooping.
But, you know, it was a carefully crafted plan on the child's part, but... And it sounds like it worked out.
It did work.
So,
she's a
great
con artist.
You were outsmarted. The staff were outsmarted by this child. And where was this?
7-year-old. It was in...
It was in 7-year-old?
It was in 7-year-old. I believe it was in Texas.
Texas. Okay. Keep it up, Texas. You done good job.
You done.
All right. So how many times has this happened to you, Dan? You're driving down the road, mm-hmm. right? You do that.
I've been known to do that, yeah.
Okay. And you come upon a box, and you go, huh, what's that? What's that box there in the middle of the road? I'm just going to inspect that box. Have you done that before? Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
I do. Are you asking if I stop my car to inspect it, yep. or I just drive?
There's a big box in the middle of the road. Okay. Suspicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. I at least once a week.
Okay. And what do you do if it's full of blood?
Put it in the back seat.
That's just delicious. That's fresh blood that you are not going to let go to waste, right?
Why would
exactly.
you?
Well, looks like someone else follows the same thought plan as you. Police said a 68-year-old man may have saved someone's life after he turned in a big box of blood he found in the middle of a busy Madison, Wisconsin road. It was human blood. Ooh. And it was supposed to have been delivered Sunday to the local office of the American Red Cross, said Joel Despain, a spokesman for the Madison police.
Oh,
Joel Despain.
That's a singable name.
Joel Despain.
Yeah, see, clearly, it's singable.
I nailed that. Nailed it.
You did.
The Red Cross soon confirmed it had received only 5 boxes of a 6-box shipment. Oops, we misplaced a box of human blood.
Happens.
Like you do.
Yeah, I mean, vampires do it all the time.
They miss... Oh, you can't see air quotes on the radio.
Yeah.
Anyway, the box was found by an unidentified 68-year-old man from the suburb of Stoughton, Despain said. Stoughton?
I've been there.
Uh-huh, I haven't. Actually, the man couldn't have avoided it, seeing as it was... quote, smack dab in the middle of Zier Road, blocking his path, Despain said. The man put the box, clearly labeled human blood, in his car and flagged down the cop was not missing. And
how do you flag down a missing person?
Flagged down a passing cop who made some phone calls and learned that the box was donated blood meant for the Red Cross's Sheboygan Avenue location. I love the name Sheboygan.
Oh, it's amazing.
It really is. There are very few other town names that can live up to it.
I think if I have a son, I'm going to name him Sheboygan.
Yeah. Sheboygan. That's a good name. I like it. Yeah. She called him Shebby. Shebby for short.
Good Sheb. Old Shebs. Shebs.
Sheb. The box somehow hadn't been run over or damaged in the street, and when it arrived at the Red Cross, it was, quote, good to go, Despain said. Thanks for your input, Despain. I'm glad we know that it was good to go.
Imagine the scenario in which you're not paying attention when you're driving.
Yeah,
and you hit that box.
And just blood and flies at your car.
Explodes. And the first thing that would run through my mind.
Is you killed someone.
Is I killed there's a person. Or yeah. There's like maybe I've heard horror stories about people like throwing a box of kittens out on the side. Or
yeah.
dogs or something.
Holy Christ.
So I'd be like, oh God.
What do you do?
I just hit a box of animals. Yeah.
Do you panic and speed away, or do you stop and blow your brains out?
I imagine that your whole windshield would get covered in blood.
Yeah.
You would spin out while screaming, and then something equally awful is going to happen. You crash into another car or something.
It sounds terrible.
It sounds very awful.
Luckily, no one hit this probably warm box of human blood.
Mm.
It had come up to a nice lukewarm sort of... tepid temperature.
Ooh.
Mm, you know, just get a little dip the pinky in there and get a little taste, rub it on the gums, make sure you got a good year.
Mm.
So, you know what they say about Wisconsin?
No, I don't.
Gotta watch out for the blood.
Oh, it's on the license plate.
Yep, it's their state motto. Watch out for that blood.
For that blood.
D-A-T, blood, B-L-U-D.
Wow.
Watch out for that blood.
Wow.
Young blood.
Comma young blood.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're getting hip. You know, they're getting hip with the times.
Mm-hmm.
So they're yeah, sure. Go. I'm done. Next.
A Parisian man is suing his former employee for being too darn boring.
Oh, heavens. You know,
Frederick Desnard is taking Inter Parfums to court over €360,000 or $415,000.
Oh my goodness.
For damages.
That Inter Parfums. He's going to have a hell of a time.
Inter Parfums. The 44-year-old man had worked there from 2010 to 2014. Being laid off 18 months ago caused a, quote, bore out, which caused emotional and health-related issues.
Because he was bored.
He was just bored. Mm. The job title, quote, General Service Director, which sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy.
Paid $4,000 a month.
That's pretty good.
And Desnard said it was for doing nothing.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
What is he complaining about?
Well, technically it's not nothing. He claims his supervisors called him the boy.
The boy.
And asked him to do menial tasks for them, like their personal chores, including picking up their kids from sport activities.
Oh, that's not okay.
That's a little demeaning.
Yeah, that's not all right.
I would think the job title may need to have soccer mom attached to it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And does it come with the feathered bangs, the fancy side swoop haircut?
Mm-hmm. And mom jeans.
Yeah, the I need to speak to your to the manager haircut.
That's right. It got worse from there, too. Soon, there was so little left for him to do that his bosses just told him to go home and come back when they called him, which they never did. Quote, he suffered from a critical depression and had a traffic accident linked to an epileptic seizure. He fell into a coma and was on sick leave. So
wow.
That's a little serious.
Yeah, that is serious.
Said Montasser Charney, Desard's lawyer.
I think you nailed
Desnard.
Montasser Charney. that's not the most American pronunciation of that name.
Montasser Charney.
Well, I met that Montana Charsey. Montasser Charney.
Montasser Charney.
Ooh.
Desnard's lawyer. He also added Desnard suffered from bore out and, quote, it can be defined as a moral exhaustion due to a total lack of caseload. And it comes with a feeling of shame of being paid to do nothing. Which, I don't know, in America, I feel like getting paid to literally do nothing.
That's the American dream.
That is the American dream.
That literally is the American dream, because the American dream is to start a business and become the owner of it. And pay other people to do work for you. You just rake in money while doing whatever, you know?
Exactly.
That is the American dream.
And it's worked out for some people.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of other countries have respect in what they do.
Yeah.
Americans are all about fast money right now. Don't care if you sell your soul. Just give me them stacks.
Them fat stacks.
Them fat stacks. Well, great.
Companies denying the allegations of name-calling and said they noticed a decrease in motivation from the man. When they attempted to give him more to do, he was missing for more than 6 months.
Wow, that's a bit of a... Yep.
So there's that, and that's why he was let go. Somebody's not telling the truth here, so...
You decide.
How do we sort out the lawyers?
Oh! Great. Some great topical quotation there. Awesome. Well, it's a real mystery. It's one for the books. It's certainly the next Sherlock case.
Who's lying about nothing? I don't know anymore.
I don't think I care.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, it's sad if the guy got into a car accident and had seizures and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious.
That is serious.
Poor
Montasser Charney.
Well, that's his lawyer. So it's,
well, him too.
Desna.
Poor him.
Poor him for taking the case and getting paid.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be a tough road. For me to represent you and do my job.
That's right.
When you can't do yours. Because
yes.
You don't have one.
That's correct. Thanks. Thanks for that summary. I liked it.
Mm.
That was nice and concise. Let's finish it up this week with one more article.
Oh, great.
You like that?
I don't.
That was exotic. And honestly, if you're not looking for change, you can just get out right now.
If you don't like America, you can just get out.
So, Dan,
mm-hmm.
You get haircuts.
I've been known to, yeah.
I also
along
get
with
haircuts.
Driving down roads.
Yeah. Wow, it's crazy that we do these
you
things.
Know me so well.
Well, I got a story about haircuts.
Okay.
And it's really, I don't think I feel bad, but also, well, just hear it out.
Okay.
A gang of thugs armed with baseball bats, machetes, and a handgun launched a terrifying attack at a barbershop. Because one of them was given a bad haircut.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, but they kind of had it coming.
Bad haircuts?
Yeah. You know, if I wanted to get Supercuts quality at a barbershop, I'd go to Supercuts for $5 haircut. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, please take one. Because no one else will come here and pay.
Is the Supercuts the place where the people go to learn how to cut hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is there an actual place that does that?
Well, school.
Like, you go to, you can go to, like, a hairdresser school and get it, your hair cut.
Yeah, you go to barber school.
And then you take your chances.
Actually, New Hampshire has a really prestigious one.
Yeah?
Yeah, a really awesome barber school. Anyway, yeah, so you get a bad haircut, what are you going to do, right? You can't return it, right? They can't put the hair back on. I mean, they try. Just glue it.
Just give me whatever's on the floor.
Yeah, just grab a handful, put some super glue on it, and stick it to me.
Well, a glue stick would do better.
That's true. You get more even coverage. And they were a little bit miffed. Well, the six smashed windows, causing about $2,300 worth, before trashing an Alfa Romeo parked outside the premises. That's a vehicular.
I thought it was Alfa Romero.
I thought it was too.
Is that not it?
I don't know. It says Alfa Romeo.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Alfa
Romeo.
Romeo, maybe? Maybe Romeo? I don't know cars.
I'll never own a car of that quality.
Yeah. Owners
Stop
of...
Stop judging me!
So, owners of Fresh Trims, with a Z, by the way.
Oh, good.
In Walsall, West Midlands, UK, pulled the shutters down and locked the door as the attackers tried to break in at 3:15 p.m., which is, as you know, a premium time to break into places, right in the very middle of the day.
Well, if you got beef with a person who cut your hair years ago, because it happened years ago, right?
Uh-huh.
Or at least a year ago.
Yep.
That's the best time, because you want to get them on shift.
You gotta wait. You gotta wait. You gotta wait for the right moment, and then you gotta strike with a whole gang of thugs. With guns and machetes. Yeah. One customer was left with a cut to his hand from flying glass, while a seven-year-old boy was left in tears as he witnessed the violence erupt.
Ooh.
That poor child. Those people who got injured got nothing on the tears of a seven-year-old.
Look, you made a kid cry. You should be ashamed. Oh, not this again.
So a court heard the three-minute attack was the culmination of a year-long spat over a man having a bad haircut he didn't like. This all built up over a year. That must have been a really legendarily bad haircut.
He probably just shaved his whole head.
I'd be very mad.
Yeah.
I've been cultivating the sweet dew for years now. If you shave it off, I'm going to be grump.
You remember back when you had, like, really long hair?
I did. I had long hair.
And then,
I had a foot-tall mohawk.
And then you had a foot-tall mohawk, and you had weird drunken men shouting at you.
I remember. Yeah. They admired it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
One guy bowed down to it and then hugged me many times over.
Mm.
And it was really weird and uncomfortable. But, you know, got to respect, right? Or something. But
you didn't even see the it was getting him going, too.
Yeah, he had a half chub.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I think we all did, really.
It was a moving moment.
Yeah, I was moved in my pants.
Something moved.
So, a speck of blood found by a broken window matched the DNA of Alex Hill, 19, and he was arrested. That's some CSI stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, just breaking into a barber shop and they're doing matching DNA samples and they've got, like, people quickly typing on keyboards, pretending to hack things and, you know, enhance. And they get in and they find the reflection of the guy on the bumper of a car going by. And
man, this is a real storyteller-heavy episode.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of singing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a musical.
We've got to make it up for people for not delivering on Sunday after all those terrible events that happened.
If only we had recorded that crazy stuff that happened to us.
If only, but our equipment was destroyed in the water damage.
Exactly.
God!
You'll just have to believe that all these things really happened to us.
And then we quickly got an exact replica of all of our equipment. So we have that now, which is why we sound the exact same.
We got it. We ordered express.
Yeah, very quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that. If you get a bad haircut, try not doing that, because you might go to jail.
Wear gloves.
That's right. If there's one thing I know about committing crimes, it's wear gloves.
And pretend they don't fit.
Yes. Pretend they don't.
Ah, I can't get it on.
Oops. Silly me.
I did it again.
I played with your heart.
And
got
there's
lost
other...
in the something. I don't remember. Anyway, music. So, that is the end of the show. Since we have now run out of things to say.
Yay!
And let's, you got any closing words before we wrap this up, Dan?
If you haven't listened to Vic Valentine, go listen to it.
Yeah, do that. I think a lot of people, it's getting lots of listens. Yeah, people are getting some cool feedback on it.
There's more coming. I'm working on it.
There is. This is not a one and done. This is a many and done, or many and never done.
It takes time, though. These episodes kind of take a while.
It does. It takes quite a bit of time, and then the editing also takes a long time.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, go check that out. And, again, we apologize for saying we were going to do something that we didn't do, but...
Sorry.
We tried. You know, we tried. It just didn't work out. I'm sorry.
Just try harder next time.
We will try harder next time. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up, mm-hmm. folks. You've all just been a peach. Just a peach to be around today. You can find us on our website at ghostshipradio.com under the Banterbox Radio tab. You can also find the show on iTunes and all other places you get your podcasts. You can contact us directly by using the contact form on our website. And if you like what we do, consider supporting us over at patreon.com/ghostshipradio. And that's all for this week.
And remember, there is a character in the Marvel Universe named A1 Sauce. Also, the iconic villain Red Skull was almost a living Hot Fudge Sundae, appropriately named Hot Fudge.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to try and check the mic. Are you going to check the mic?
I'm going to check that mic, chickity check, and I wreck that mic.
Wow. Stepping your game up.
This show is part of the Ghost Ship Radio Network. For more information, go to ghostshipradio.com.